sis, and welcome back to the Sisters Podcast. I'm Lois.
I'm Jada.
I'm Bree.
And I'm Lydia.
We are on episode 2 of our Q&A month. So for those of you who missed last month, we asked our Instagram and Facebook for questions, and y'all blew us up. So instead of one episode, we turned it into a whole month of Q&A, and we're hoping to cover them all. We talk too much, so we've got to zoom through better than last episode. But if you missed the last episode, be sure to go catch up. So here we go. Evangelism tips, starting out. I think evangelism is a command. It's not an option. Mm-hmm. And so many Christians view it as an option. So we need to change this mindset.
Yeah.
For sure.
Every Christian should also consider themselves an evangelist.
Every single Christian. Yeah. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go, therefore, and teach all nations." I think a lot of times we get caught up on our goal of going to heaven, and we forget that not only should we be going to heaven, but our goal is also to bring other people to heaven with us.
Well, and we're not going to go to heaven if we're not doing that, because it's a command.
It's a command. Yeah. Okay, but how?
I think one thing to make sure that you have before you go into Bible study is to make sure that you have the trait of compassion.
Yeah.
I think we should all think of Jesus when we think of going and teaching, because he was the best example. Mm-hmm. Mark 6:34 says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach many things." I love that in this verse, he sees them, he has compassion, and then he teaches. Mm-hmm. So I think that we need to make sure that we're going in this with love, and we're going in this with kindness, and making sure that they know that we understand. It's not that we think we're perfect and that they are going to be perfect, but that we have this wonderful God that we serve. And so I think that's really important to make sure we have the traits that we need to be able mm-hmm. to get the gospel to them.
And they should know that we're not doing this just to check off that list. Oh, yeah. I've mm-hmm. brought someone to Christ.
Yeah.
It's because we love their soul.
Yep. I think another thing to remember is you can't be an evangelist if you don't know the word yourself.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So absolutely. You have to study, study, study. And also you have to look outside of the church to find opportunities. I remember mm-hmm. I remember thinking when I was homeschooled, like, everyone I know is a Christian. I don't know how I'm supposed to evangelize, but you have to look at every single person you come in contact with as a soul. Mm-hmm. The person that you pass in the grocery store deserves the gospel just as much as you do. This past year at Polishing the Pulpit, they had a Bring a Friend night, and we had these cards that we could pass out to people to invite them to Polishing the Pulpit. And I remember that whole week, we passed those out to every single person we saw, our waitresses, everyone in the grocery store, and it was so much fun. And I remember I was thinking, why am I not like this all the time? Like, why am I not this excited to invite people to church all the time? And I should be. And it made me really look at myself mm-hmm. and try to change some things. I have to look at every person I come in contact with as a soul, because that's mm-hmm. what they are.
I'm a yapper. I can literally talk to anybody. Like Jada was saying, going around, we should be inviting people to church. And that's something that I realized. I've said that in the past too, is that instead of talking about all the things that I just talk about, you know, anytime, I mm-hmm. should be talking about church. I should be talking about Christian events and all this stuff to people that I run into anywhere I am, because I'm evangelizing every single day. We should all be evangelizing every single day, because there's that saying, you might be the only Bible somebody ever reads. Mm-hmm. When people see you out and about and like you're wearing Christ's name and stuff like mm-hmm. that, you are evangelizing.
Mm-hmm. Try to direct those conversations towards God. We're in the grocery store Monday, and there is this lady that came up to us to ask us how to like make chocolate dipped strawberries. And she was a sweet old lady, and Lois handed her a Sisters Podcast card, and we used that as an opportunity. And we should turn every single conversation like that into an opportunity mm-hmm. to invite them to church, talk to them about God.
Mm-hmm. And I also gave her tips on how to make chocolate covered strawberries. Yeah.
One of my physical and the spiritual needs.
I think on that note too, social media. We've mm-hmm. talked about social media a lot though, and how we should be using it for evangelism, but that is a huge tool that we have. I mean, just we can reach so many people through social media mm-hmm. and I hope that we are. Mm-hmm. Post scriptures, post reels. I mean, like Sisters Podcast, we share reels all the time. House to House, where I work, House to House, they share reels that they cover so many different things. Reels,
yes, they do.
Just different posts with quotes, Bible verses, like different things to get you thinking. The accent there was.
And if you're sharing those things to your story, then not only are you sharing it with your friends, but they also have an opportunity to reply back to you
mm-hmm.
or
yeah.
to be maybe you haven't been doing that and you do. And it kind of throws some people off guard of like, why is Lydia now sharing this?
Mm-hmm.
Now they get an opportunity to go check out that account. Maybe even click on it and start scrolling. I do that all the time. Somebody shares something and I'm like, okay, let me go check out the rest of the account and what it looks like. Yeah. And you just never know what they're going to stumble upon either. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got interested. I share a lot of GBN stuff. And so I was like, I wonder if anyone that isn't of the church that I know is following this page. So like you can go on the mutual friends and I looked and there was two people who are on there that I know that aren't members of the church. They've never, they wouldn't have had any other contact. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ah, so exciting.
For those who don't know, also GBN stands for Gospel Broadcasting Network.
Mm-hmm.
Look them up. Their videos, amazing. Their articles.
They have an app.
Yes. Yeah, the app is amazing.
Yeah. It's the app, website, social medias, we highly recommend them. They are very encouraging.
I'm going to add something else to this.
Okay.
Because if you are in the workplace, you have a huge opportunity to reach people for Christ as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And one of the greatest tools that I have found in that is Apologetics Press.
Yes. Their
articles are amazing for reaching people who maybe don't even truly believe that the Bible is the authority, like God's authority, right? Or how do we even know the Bible came from God? Or what about creation? Or they have so many, you're going to be asked so many questions, especially if you're standing for what's right. So just having that go-to resource of Apologetics Press, be able to search any topic to find what you scientists that are actually like Dr. Jeff Miller or Eric Lyons or whoever that have already put in so much work and study for those, such a helpful resource.
Yes, so, yes. Yeah. Okay, last things I have written down on this point are write cards. If your congregation doesn't have a compassion card team, highly recommend, because there is something about a person receiving 10 plus cards from a random congregation. They don't even know these people. That leaves an impression. You cannot argue that does not leave an impression. For those of you who don't know what a compassion card team is, at least at Jacksonville, and I know of several other congregations who do it, we meet, we have different teams once a month, and we write cards. Different members will turn in, like, this is my prayer request for now. This is some, like, a friend of mine who's going through this. Let me reach out to them, or can y'all reach out to them? Amazing work. We've had baptisms from it. I mean, just, I love cards. That's something about me. If somebody writes me something that's handwritten, I will keep it forever. Literally I have a box in my closet that is full of handwritten cards.
Me too.
So, really?
From when I was like 10. Yes. Yeah. Every single one.
Me too. I love cards. Just handwritten notes mean so much to me, but they mean much, so much to, obviously, to other people as well. And so huge, huge outreach with that too. Let's see. Look for visitors at church. Have you been somewhere where people haven't talked to you? Cause it is like the worst feeling ever when you don't know anyone or you know one person and you're just like, no church should be like that. No, no church.
We should feel welcome in every church.
Yes. So, I mean, that's being an evangelist in church. Look for visitors. Look for people. I mean, if I bring somebody, for example, I brought one of my friends with me last month, or I don't know what month this will air. 1 month, I brought a friend with me and so many people came up to him. I was so impressed with my friends and just people at congregation for coming up to him, making him feel included. The next day, he went to the men's breakfast by himself, knowing nobody, because people were so nice to him that he was like, I want to get to know these people more. So,
that's why it's important to get those traits that Christ has and to work on them, because that can be how you're helping your evangelism better.
Okay, my last thing on here is leave tracts / invitations to church for your waiters and waitresses, or even like our little podcast cards, which I know that everybody doesn't have these, but we have little sisters podcast cards. You should get some and just leave them wherever you go, hand them out, whatever, anything you, if you have a house to house article or a track about the church or whatever, leave it in. I saw a post where somebody had a house to house article and they left it in a car shop. And another Christian saw it and they're like, whoa, that's so cool. Like, small world. Anyway, different people. When you're sitting in a car shop, I don't know about y'all. I drive a Jeep, so I spend a whole lot of time in a car shop. And I get so bored. So different little resources like that can be very helpful. You can plant seeds, and you should be planting seeds all day, every day.
Yes.
So we spend a lot of time on that question.
But everything you can do can be used for evangelism.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, we're yappers if you can't tell. Next question. How to make a difference as a Christian? I love this question.
It's a really good question.
Yeah, we should all be asking this. I think to be difference makers, first and foremost, we have to understand that the power to make a difference isn't in us. It's in God.
That's right. Yeah.
I think the best way that you can make a difference in someone's life is by helping make an eternal difference in their life.
Yeah.
And there's many ways that you can do this. We just talked about a lot of those ways.
Yes.
And I think your example and your influence is a really big way that you can do that. The people that you spend your days with, like at work or at school, should be wanting to get to know God more by the attributes that you show.
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask yourself, is your influence bringing people to want to know God, or is it pushing them away? You just need to make every single conversation lead back to God, lead back to evangelism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that makes a huge difference in their life.
And if you're reading your Bible and spending time in His Word, you will be making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You will be making a difference. There's no way you can read His Word and apply it to your life and not make a difference.
And not want to share that.
Yeah.
To piggyback off of what you just said, Lois, if you're spending time with Jesus in His Word, you can't help but talk about Him.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be what we put into ourselves is what's going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're spending time with God and we're, you know, hiding His Word in our heart, and that's where we're spending the majority of our time, then when we are out talking to people, then we can't help but share Jesus.
Yeah.
It's always like,
oh,
how do I share Jesus with people? Well, if you're spending time with Him, it's going to be really easy to talk about Him.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be just a natural part of who we are and what we talk about.
And especially, I know I keep bringing it up, but just being different, because if you are, you're never going to make a difference in a world that you look exactly like.
Yeah.
So if we're not being different, if we're not in His Word, and we're not the light that we need to be, then we're never going to make a difference. So
I heard a saying when I was a kid, and it's stuck with me ever since, that live a life that when you die, your light doesn't go out.
Mm-hmm.
Your light should be shining so bright that it keeps going when you're gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think if you yourself are not right, you're not going to be making the difference you should be. You'll be making a difference, but not a positive one.
Yeah.
Right.
Because no matter what you do, people are seeing what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And you are wearing Christ's name if you're a Christian. So if you are not yourself living right, you're making a difference. You're just not making a positive difference.
Right. And I think we don't need to overwhelm ourselves by thinking, I need to make this huge difference in life. Being a Christian, I need to be like Paul. Well, yes, you do. But that's done by small little things every single day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One thing I think of is just not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's making a difference.
Yeah.
Off of Romans 1:16. I think you can do a whole lot of good helping your local congregation.
Mm-hmm.
So much good just there. I mean, teaching Bible classes, door knocking, helping with different events as in widows things.
Taking care of the members.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are... You are making a difference if you are making a difference at your local congregation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish so much that people would take a step up and start working more.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more, we've talked about this before, but the longer time goes by, whatever, the more I see so many people just checking out, like taking a step back.
Yeah, and the more of us that are working towards the same goal, the bigger difference that we're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
The apostles wouldn't have turned the world upside down if they were not working together.
No.
Yeah.
I think another thing is building relationships anywhere you go with your friends. If your relationships aren't built strongly, then you're not going to have as good of a chance of bringing them to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this in our, I think in our Bible, last episode, our Bible study question, but invite people over, have a meal, just get to know them, and then they'll want to study the Bible more. So anything else you want to add on that one?
Good. Moving on.
Okay. Best ways to deal with self-forgiveness or forgiveness of others. Also, moving past that.
To answer the first part of that question, I think it's so important that we are not doing more than God does when it comes to forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
When you repent, it's like it never happened to God. And I know our minds don't necessarily work like that. We don't just forget things like that. We carry baggage and resentment with us. But I think it's important that despite everything you've done in your past, God can still use you. And that's not of your own power. That's God working through you. God can work through you no matter your past.
Mm-hmm.
God knows that we're going to mess up. He knows we're going to sin. He says, for all have sinned.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't expect us not to sin, but He expects us to repent and continue walking in the light.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 1:7-10 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. And in Philippians 3, Paul is just amazing. He really is.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
But verse 13 through 14 says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So you're going to have to forget what lies in the past and press on towards your prize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I am by far my worst critic, and like me forgiving myself is the hardest thing. And I have to remind myself, if God can forgive me, then how can I not forgive myself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it makes me think of Hebrews 8:12, which says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more."
Mm-hmm.
If God doesn't remember my sins, then why do I keep living on them? And I repeat this verse to myself over and over again when I'm trying to move past it. I mean, if you've repented and you've changed your life, yes, you can use those mistakes for good. But if you're continually beating yourself up for them, you're not doing yourself any
favors. And that's why we can't hold other people's sins to them too. Yeah. God's forgiving them for that.
Mm-hmm. So and for the other part of that question, did you have something else to say on that?
It's hard when someone hurts you.
Yeah,
if God can forgive me for hurting him, I have to forgive others for hurting me.
Yeah. When I think of forgiveness, I automatically think of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because if Jesus can forgive those who literally tortured and killed him, then how can I not forgive in XYZ situation?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so wrong of me.
Mm-hmm. His words were not the words of hate. The words that he came out of his mouth was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so when I look at forgiveness, Christ is the first one that I think of, because he didn't have to say that. No. I mean, he was in so much pain. How do you not say things that, I mean, because a lot of times we say things we don't mean when we're in hurtful situations, but especially this one of all. And he just says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Such a vulnerable
Exactly. So how can I look at somebody and say, "I'll never forgive you," even when it's not even close to as bad as that? Or if I know that I've made mistakes before and I know that I want forgiveness, how can I look at somebody and say, I want forgiveness, but I can't give you that forgiveness?
Mm-hmm.
I think of Psalm 103 when God says that that he forgives us and it's as far as the east is from the west, and that's never ending. And then when Peter, he said, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times." So Peter was trying to put like a specific number, like, "Hey, how many times? Like, give me a specific number so I know." But then Jesus said, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times 70. And that's Matthew 18:21-22.
Mm-hmm.
So that was God saying there's not a number, a specific number that you forgive. You just forgive.
That whole parable is an amazing example on forgiveness because the servant went to the master pleading with him, "Please forgive me, please forgive me." And the master forgave him.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did the servant do but go to somebody who owed him a much smaller debt? Mm-hmm. I mean, so small. And didn't show him the same kindness?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like in perspective. Why in the world do we do that, but yet we accept Christ's forgiveness?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sickening, honestly. That goes to all of us have to work on that for sure.
And how small some things that people do to us are in comparison to what we've done to him.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I to not forgive someone after he's forgiven me for so much?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on. We keep yapping away. I love it. But not you. I said that right after Lydia talked. Like, Lydia's been quiet over here and I'm like, we're yapping away. Sorry, Lydia. That was not at you. Okay, next question. Dating advice. This is one where I have advice on what not to do.
Yeah, you do.
Hey. No, you got it.
Nope. Go for it.
Oh, no. She's like, "Oh, I want to hear her stories." No. Oh, you do not want to hear my stories. Okay. Dating as a Christian should mean dating for marriage, which I think we all have the same thing. If I'm not looking for someone who is going to be a spiritual leader for me and for my kids, then what am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm coming at Lois right now. I'm absolutely coming for that Lois.
I'm coming for Lois.
I was in a lesson at PTP, polishing the pulpit. Sorry. I forget that people don't live in my head, but he's a red flag, but red is my favorite color. And my sister actually sent me a message last night, which is ironic, that she was watching a show And this girl was like, he's a red flag, so I just paint my nails red to match the vibe or something like that. Yeah, I felt that one. Felt that one.
Yeah, I definitely think that we should ask ourselves, is this a person that we see ourselves marrying as they are now?
Yes.
Don't do date potential. No, don't do it.
Yes.
Because that can lead to so many different downfalls and things that we don't need to be involved in. Mm-hmm. And that can lead to us marrying somebody that we don't really want to marry because they don't have all those attributes that we need. And that can lead to us being torn down, mm-hmm. and us not being who we need to be in Christ. I think another thing is for us to look at ourselves. Am I someone that I would want to marry? Having mm-hmm. those aspects, and treating that person as you would want to be treated as well. So not only putting a list down, which you should, put a list of what you want in a godly man and that you would want to date and marry, mm-hmm. but also writing down what you want to make better in your life, yeah. mm-hmm. so that you can be better for him.
Because if you're praying for those things, then the kind of guy that you're looking for is also probably praying for yeah. those things in you as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
I wish there was such a cookie cutter answer when it comes to dating of like, this would make it so much easier if you just did this exact thing, but there's really not anything that's laid out like that. I think the biggest piece of advice I have is just like what Lois and Bree were just saying too, is like dating with the intention of marriage. If yeah. you are dating with marriage in mind, then you're not just looking for like what feels good now or what you like right now or he's fun to spend time with, mm-hmm. but in the future, like, is he someone that I want to be the father of my children?
Yeah.
Is he someone who is strong but gentle? Is he mm-hmm. someone who's kind? Mm-hmm. Is he someone who's going to lead our family closer to Christ?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is he even a spiritual leader? There's a lot of men out there who even lead.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think that's a huge thing to look for is, you know, just thinking about yourself and reflecting on, am I the things that I'm praying for in someone else?
Yeah, you have to make sure you're ready before.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you have to ask yourself, do I show those attributes that I'm looking for too? Am I gentle? Mm-hmm. Am I kind? Do I show the fruits of the Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, get yourself ready before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You shouldn't be in a relationship if you're not.
No, absolutely not. I think the best relationships that I've seen unfold with time are the relationships that were built on friendship first.
Yes.
When you have someone that you are best friends with, that you enjoy spending time with, because the spiritual aspect is so important and should be at the very top of the list, but also it's really important for you to be with someone that you want to spend forever with. They mm-hmm. should be your best friend. They mm-hmm. should be someone that you're like, hey, I don't want to spend time with these other people. You know, yes, you should be attracted to them. Yes, they should have all these spiritual qualities, but you can't just have one piece of the pie. You have to have the whole pie. Mm-hmm. So do they check off every box?
Yeah.
And also being careful not to have some list of 75 things that you're looking for. You know, I want someone who eats Chick-fil-A. And if they don't like Chick-fil-A, I'm not dating them. Yeah. Like, okay, well, that's great that yeah. you like Chick-fil-A. Yeah. But is it
there
really
are some
a deal breaker
things to compromise on.
Yes. Yeah. So
now if he's an Auburn fan, that's a different story. But Chick-fil-A, we can work with that.
I think another important thing, don't chase after boys.
No.
Do not.
Yes.
Let them yes. come and pursue you. Because if you want to marry a spiritual leader, they're going to be a leader and they're going to mm-hmm. pursue you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I wish more people talked about that.
Me
because
too.
I think it is, in our culture today, it is very common for girls to chase after guys yeah. and there's nothing wrong with showing interest in someone, but if you're the one pursuing every single step of the way,
yeah, don't mm-hmm. do that.
Guess what? When you get married, he's going to be looking at you to lead your family, and that's not your yeah. job. Mm-hmm. Like that is not the woman's job in the household to lead her family. That is the man's job.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, Christ is the head, and then it's the man and then the woman, and it has to be set up that way even in dating before. If right. it doesn't look that way in dating, it's not going to look that way in
nope.
marriage.
No, I've always said if a guy can't talk to me or can't come up to talk to me, then he's not even an option in my book. Because mm-hmm. I'm a very, very strong-willed person, I guess. And I'm like, if he doesn't even have the confidence and like the guts to come up and talk to me in person, then we're not going to get along.
There's going to be none of, hey, tell your friend I said she's cute.
No. Or it's like the whole, okay, if you don't see each other in person, it's different with like sliding in or like messaging online.
Sure, yeah.
But if you see somebody, I've had this happen so many times. Let me just, okay. If you see somebody in person and you don't talk to them in person, but then you'll message them after, embarrassing.
Yeah.
Embarrassing. Be a man. Why are men not being men? Why are men
that's
not
what
being
we
men?
Want.
Yeah. And also women should be women. And I think that yes. would make a big difference yeah. in yes. men not being intimidated, if you will, or whatever. But if women are women, it's going to cause the men to step up too.
Yeah.
So
Jada, Bree, and I were in a lesson last week question mark, when we got little dating cards. So I'm going to read these really fast. This is a dating checklist for girls. Okay. I think these are by Glenn and Cindy Colley, but I don't actually know who they're by. But here are some questions to ask about your boyfriend or getting into a relationship. Think about this. Okay. Does he speak respectfully to you about his parents? Does he pray in the restaurant? Is he careful in his entertainment choices? Does he avoid physical compromises in our relationship? Does he like to talk about scripture? Is there someone he is trying to convert to Christ? Does he sing out in worship? Does he take notes during the sermon? Does he like to sit towards the front in worship? Does he avoid alcoholic beverages? Does he continue or control his anger and avoid profanity? Mm-hmm. Is he a faithful Christian?
Good questions.
That's what I, another thing is to make sure, it's like some of those things, they weren't, does he lead songs? Does he preach? Does he serve on the Lord's Supper table? Yeah. It was, how does he pray in restaurants? Yeah. Mm-hmm. How does he treat the waitress? How does he treat his mom? Mm-hmm. Yep. So look at those things too. Don't just look at, does he do all of the, just do these things in the church, which are great and important, but outside of church, who is he?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Things done in private speak louder than things done in public, because who someone is behind closed doors may not be the same person that you see in public around other people.
Yeah.
And I think one of the clearest ways to tell someone is, or who someone is based on how they treat their parents. You know, does he treat his mom with respect and with kindness and with love? You know, and does, if as a woman, you know, am I treating my dad with respect and love and thinking about those things? Yeah. And my brothers, like if he was to come into my home, how would he see me act? You know, if we're thinking about those things in terms of what we're looking for in men, am I doing those same exact things?
Yes. Yeah. And that's dating checklist for girls. Here we're, for, these are for the boys, but about girls. So ladies, check yourself. Here we go. Can she be happy when she is not the center of attention? Does she speak respectfully to and about her parents? Is she careful in her entertainment choices? Does she avoid physical compromises in our relationship? Does she like talking about the scriptures? Same things for the guys, ladies. It's back on you. Is there someone she is trying to convert to Christ? Does she sing out in worship? Does she take notes during the sermon? Does she like to sit towards the front? Does she avoid alcoholic beverages? Does she dress modestly? Is she discreet about sexual matters? Is she a faithful Christian? Look out for these things, ladies. What are you doing?
I think it's important to have people in your life, too, who are willing. When you invite people into your relationship and you're giving them the, hey, I give you the permission to speak into this, of like, hey, if you see red flags, love does some crazy things to you, and you can be really blinded to a lot. But if you give people permission in your life to say, hey, I want you to tell me when you see these things, that's going to make a huge difference than you just living your relationship. It's just you and him, and that's it. No one else knows, no one sees anything, because that's going to get, that can cause a lot more trouble than it should because of that. So also, I read a ton of books on dating and relationships. So if any of you have any, you want any recommendations, feel free to let me know.
And if you're wanting to know what not to do, I got you all day long. Oh, man. If you're like, is this a red flag? Let me help you out. Okay. Let's cover one more really fast. How can you share the gospel with family that lives in a different state than you?
I think this is can be done a lot easier now than in times past because we have FaceTime and useful tools like that. We have to point them to the right places when we're not there physically with them. So that can be live streams, from your services, podcast, articles. And when you are speaking to them and you get that time with them in person, be so intentional with your conversations. But also, if you're not living your life in a way where you're reflecting Christ, they're not going to want to hear about Christ from you. If you have one foot in the church and one foot in the world, they're going to think, why do I need to go to church with them when they're not living that way anyway?
Yep.
I actually had someone make that comment to me before. Not about me, but they were talking about a girl who's in a denomination that is very popular in our area. And she was like, that's what I don't understand about those type of people. Why would I want to do that? Like, why would I want to be that fake? And it just hurt my heart so bad.
Yeah. I think it's important to remember, like, you can send your family members scripture. You can send them podcasts. You can send them lessons. You can send them all the things that you can to, you know, like Jada was saying, there's so many different ways you can do that nowadays with technology.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's up to them whether or not they obey the gospel. Yeah. You can share it with them. You can teach them.
Mm-hmm. All we can do is sow the seed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You can sow the seed and you can water it, but it's up to God, you know, and up to them whether or not they choose for that seed to grow.
Yes.
Because it may fall on the wayside and they may not, you know, they choose what they do with that. And, you know, I have family that lives in different states and like it's hard to share that with them. So I think mm-hmm. social media is a huge way to be able to do that, because if you're able to live, you may be the only Bible that they ever read.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're able to use your social media to glorify God and to shine that light, like Matthew 5 and verse 16 says, then they're going to, God's going to, they can't help but give God the glory mm-hmm. for the way that you're living your mm-hmm. life, because they see him in you.
Mm-hmm. Do all of those things and pray, mm-hmm. pray yes. for an open heart, because you yep. can put it all out there. You can mail mm-hmm. them things. You can do all these things. But if they don't have an open heart,
yep.
it's not going to work.
So and pray. Isn't the smallest thing we can do. It's the biggest thing.
And the most yeah. overlooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And praying for their heart to be pricked and opened, I think, is a huge thing to pray for.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. Well, we are going to wrap it up there. To start out next week, our first question is it wrong to date a non-Christian? How do you feel about converting your boyfriend? So that's going to be a fun one. Y'all can think about that all week. But thank you for listening. If you have any questions, please message any of us and help us out by rating our show, subscribing to our show. This helps us reach more people. This is not for us. This helps us reach people, which is what we want. So please help us out in that. Thank you for listening. Have a good week. Bye.